Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I am joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of ruck.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Steve, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you? How's it going?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. Very good. Couple of weeks off for various reasons, bit busy at either end, but good to be back, eh?
Yeah, mate, but back on the steamrolling towards the Lions too. I think we'll be busy.
Exactly. Here we go. We've got a big few weeks and months ahead of us on the pod. So yeah, hopefully we'll be back with you a little bit more regularly now. And mate, the good rugby just keeps on coming. The Prem is churning out some seriously good rugby.
I know. It's been incredible, hasn't it, this season? I think the quality of games hasn't been tarnished really by the taking away of relegation, has it really? There's been a few stinkers, but there's always a few stinkers. I don't think that's any different to normal.
There are definitely always a few stinkers, and to be honest, those stinkers normally involve the people getting relegated anyway, and that's what's happened this year. That's what has happened this year. It's been those teams that would have been down there. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you can make the argument that the ring fencing has affected it too much, because it's teams that aren't really wouldn't be in the mix for relegation anyway. So what do you think it is? Is it summer rugby? Is that what it is?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe we could do with shifting the schedule a little bit, starting a little, you know, maybe starting October, November time and finish a bit later. I think that, especially if the summer tours aren't going on until, let's say, like July, let's just have the season run consecutively rather than giving players a few weeks off and then making them come back again.
I'd enjoy that.
The way it's going to work this year, it's going to run in, isn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely enjoy that, I think. I think coming towards the tail end of the season, where teams can start to play proper rugby, and then the finals, hopefully. I mean, it actually looks like we've got bad weather for the semis this weekend, but giving the business end of the season a chance to have some good rugby because of some nice weather can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it also, then you're giving players like nearly a solid 2 months off, August, September, yeah, rather than trying to bring them back up pre-season in all, like, the end of August and have like 2 or 3 weeks off.
Yeah, very true. Very true. They're supposed to get that mandatory five, aren't they? But I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much that happens, to be totally honest. But speaking of the summer, mate, obviously the Lions is the main event, but there are some summer tours going on. England have got a summer tour of sorts. They're not really touring anywhere too exciting. But USA and Canada are coming over to play against us. And I'm sure everyone has seen by now the squad that Eddie Jones has announced for now. There are going to be two additions throughout this month after the semi-finals and finals. So some players still to come into this squad. But we thought we'd have a go at picking our sort of starting 15 for one of those games in the summer, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see, because I don't think I remember there being so many players in contention for every single shirt. It's kind of ridiculous at the moment. So much young talent coming through all at once.
It is a little bit. We've got a lot of young talent. Obviously, a bunch of players away on the Lions, few players rested, or at least that's the word they're using. But yeah, mate, like you say, a lot of young talent in the squad already, and then plenty more to come from the top four, from Bristol, Chiefs, Sale and Quins. So, mate, I think we should just probably jump in. For those that haven't seen the England squad so far, head over to ruck.co.uk. You'll find it easily enough on there. But it's a 34-man squad at the moment. And we've heard in the last few days that Sean Robinson has had to withdraw. So Josh McNally's in, and Jack Singleton has had to withdraw because he got tracked and traced, so Gabriel Ogre is in. But other than that, no changes to the squad that was announced initially. But we know there's some players that are probably going to be involved after the semi-finals and final. So, should we start at number one? It's probably a good place to start, isn't it?
It's not a bad place to start. I think in my opinion, we'll go here with probably the most... Is he the most capped player in the squad?
I think he is.
In Ellis?
I think he is.
Give him the captain's armband.
Well, mate, it would not be the worst shout, would it? I don't think. Be interesting to see how he reacts to that.
Yeah, it isn't, because if you look at players who might take it, I did notice, though, it was quite interesting how when Robinson got ruled out, who's, you know, an older player, 30, he replaced him with another 30-year-old. So obviously he's trying to keep that mix of youth, but he wants some experienced heads in there as well, clearly.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, but like you say, the most senior player in terms of caps in the squad, Ellis Genge, he's also just ripping up trees in the moment. He's bloody, bloody good at the moment. Reacted unbelievably well to not even getting a line to letter. So yeah, he's in. Genji's in. Give him the armband. I like it.
Yeah. Can't argue. I think that'll be the easiest selection we have.
I think from here on out, we might have a little bit more debate. But Genji, I know it means a lot to you, mate. Well done. You're in.
you made the Rook England 15
exactly.
for this summer.
Exactly. Hooker. So I think you'll probably agree with my pick as a Falcons fan. I've got Jamie Blamire. I don't even know how to say his name. Blamire.
If you're going to describe his sort of style of play, it's kind of like merging Jamie George and Luke Cowan-Dickie into one player.
Which, when you say it like that, is pretty bloody good.
Yeah, but he's got that free running, but then he's also got those. He's a bit more of a unit than Cowan-Dickie, I'd say.
Yeah, a bit heavier set.
I think the other contender is probably Will Kappen at Bristol.
Yep, that wouldn't be a bad shout.
I'm just glad that Harry Kappen hasn't really played much rugby this year, because I've always had a soft spot for his sort of like bulldog-like approach.
Yeah, me too. I think like you say, if he played a bit more, I'd definitely be throwing him into the mix here. Capon's got a shout as well, but I think he'll probably get added into the squad because we're a bit light on hookers, I think. But are you happy with Blamire for now, or do you want to make it more of a case for Capon?
No, I'm happy with that. I think he's the sort of guy and the sort of character he is, where being the squad, he's probably going to make an impact while he's there. He's not going to just turn up and sort of, just try to go through the motions. He plays 100% every minute he's on the pitch.
Yeah.
At the minute, that probably means he only plays 60 minutes, but, you know, he's still a young player.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's pretty rare that a hooker plays 80 these days anyway, so I think a good 60s, good 60 is pretty good going. And it gets a Falcon in there for us, mate. So what's not to like?
To the tight.
Yeah, this is probably the one I struggle most with. I think this is the one area where a little bit light.
It would have been easy if it wasn't for Gats.
I know. Yeah, Gats has shafted us, really.
He's really trying to spoil it.
So I was hoping we were going to have the Genn-Sinclair partnership. Obviously delighted for Sinclair to be on board the Lions bandwagon now. But who do you think, mate? Joe Hayes to have that Leicester partnership with Genji? Paul Hill's been going well for Saints.
Yeah, I was going to say Joe. I think he's an absolute beast in the scrum, and, you know, that's what you need from your tight head.
Yeah.
And I think he's a bit different. And I think he's in terms of form, he's the man at the moment. Like you say, we're a bit light at that position, but in terms of after Kyle, I think he's the guy who deserves an opportunity in terms of his level of performance this season.
Yeah, okay. Okay, nice. And like I said, nice to have that Leicester link with Genji on the other side. Hopefully Skipper Genji can guide him through his first couple of caps. Okay, I like that. So we've got two Tigers in the front row, which, to be fair, with how their pack's been going recently, is probably about right. I like it. So front row, Ellis Genge, Jamie Blamire, however you say his name, and Joe Hayes, which is nice. So into the second row. So again, this is interesting.
Difficult.
It is difficult, isn't it? It is difficult because there's a few ways you can go. And I think what I want is I'm looking for one experienced head and one up-and-comer. That's what I'm after here.
What are you thinking?
Well, my shout for the experienced head is either Charlie Yules, who is currently in the squad. Or my preferred choice
would have been one of my shouts as well.
Well, my preferred choice would actually be Big Davey Atwood.
Oh, there you've got someone who's got the England experience as well and could potentially, you know, captain the side.
And he's been absolutely smashing boys this year. So that's sort of my conundrum. I think I'm set on my other one, but that's my conundrum. I'm not sure where to go with Yules or Big Dave Atwood.
I'd go with Atwood because, you know, he's not like a hybrid second row who can sort of do all the back row work as well, but he's just incredible.
He is.
At doing what he's meant to do. Do you know? I think sometimes, yeah, I mean, I probably have some second rows, people trying to do above and beyond what they're there to do and sort of their jobs.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think they're all trying to follow in the footsteps of Marrow when they can't quite do what Marrow can do.
Yeah.
And Dave's just such a professional. I think he's a great shout. I didn't even consider him. It didn't even cross my mind, but yeah.
There we go.
Perfect.
There we go, mate. Well, I'm glad. What are we, 18 episodes in? And I finally offered something that you haven't thought of. So we're going all right.
Yeah. All right. What do we call for Jeff Parlay?
Mate, to be fair, he'd probably do okay too. But I think if we go for someone of that
ilk, Australian forwards coach at the moment.
All right, so Dave's in to absolutely smash boys and be heavy behind the scrum. So that's good. And then I'm then after some, like an up and comer, and I think the obvious one, he's been playing a bit of back row for Leicester, but I think the obvious one is probably George Martin. I think, unless I'm missing someone from a team that are in the semis.
I think the only other contender I'd say is also from Leicester. It might be Harry Wells.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jones has gone with Martin, you know, when other people might not have. So I think it would make sense for him now to give him a proper opportunity in these games.
Yeah.
Surely. You know.
And I can't fit him into my back row. But I think,
don't know where to start. In the
back. Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get there. But yeah, I think Martin deserves it. I think, you know, you hear that he worked very, very hard when he was in camp at England, which is nice to hear. And then I just think back to the Leicester-Bristol game when he was just like, he was just melting Nathan Hughes. He melted Nathan Hughes like four times. So I was like, okay, this guy's all right. He can stay around for a little bit. So I think I want him in. It's probably unlucky for Harry Wells because obviously Martin has been playing quite a lot of back row, but I think he's all right. I think he's okay in the row.
Yeah, it's good. I like that second row. It's got a good balance.
Yeah, I like it too. I think a really good person for George Martin to learn from in Dave Atwood. Really good.
It's a bit like I said, Atwood does all that absolute second row work and then Martin can sort of mix it up a bit with some serious working.
Okay, right. Onto the back row. I mean, this is a nightmare, mate. I've got my three. But this is an absolute nightmare. Like, Christ, looking through Callum Chick, Ted Hill, Lewis Ludlow, Miles Reed can play back row, Sam Underhill, Tom Willis. And then you've got people like Ben Earl, Don Brandt to come in. Ben Curry to throw in the mix as well.
Even someone like Zach Mercer, even though he's leaving. Yeah.
Zach Mercer,
Dave
Ewers, who's obviously got a ban at the moment, but yeah, tricky one. I think I've got my three, but I've been going first. So who do you reckon?
I think I'd go for, at six, I'd go Ben Curry, Ted Hill, and Don Brandt.
Okay.
Oh, we've that would
got,
be my three.
We got one out of three.
Oh, that's fun.
I've gone Don Brandt as well.
There we go.
To be fair, I really like your six and seven. I really like it. So I'm not that bothered. But I've got Ben Earl and Sam Underhill. Which is also quite good.
We'll start with yours and then we'll bring mine off the bench.
Okay.
We'll just have a bench of flankers.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I'm tempted to take Earl out and put Curry in though.
I was gonna say we'll meet in the middle and then we'll put Earl on the bench.
Earl is just destined to be like a super sub, isn't he? Unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess I'd be tempted to maybe even play Earl at 8.
Anywhere.
USA and Canada. Yeah. Not exactly like we need a huge pack.
No. No, definitely not. Okay, so we'll swap the Bens. We'll go with Ben Curry because he must be as good as Tom because they're literally identical twins. And that's how it works, I'm pretty sure. Sam Underhill and Alex Dombrand, which is a very, very like exciting back row. Very exciting.
We just made a whole team of flankers, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we really could have done. Yeah, we could have done for sure. All right, though. That's good, that is. I like this pack. So we've got, just to clarify, we've got front row of Ellis Genge, Jamie Blaymeyer, I'm going for, and Joe Hayes, two of which are uncapped. So we've got two uncapped boys so far, which is nice. Second row of Dave Atwood and George Martin, both capped. George Martin, obviously, just with one. And a back row of Ben Curry, Sam Underhill, and Dombrandt. Dombrandt's not capped, is he?
No.
So
he had a bit of time in capped, didn't he? Yeah.
So he needs to get capped pretty ASAP. All right, though. That's a good pack to start with. I like that a lot. And we've still got some pretty exciting people that we mentioned and didn't mention to come off the bench there. That's good. I like it. On to the backs.
Doesn't get any easier.
It does not get a whole lot easier. So all of a sudden, we seem to have like a plethora of options at scrum half.
And we're still going to go back to Ben Youngs and Rawson.
So Ben Youngs obviously made himself unavailable for selection for the Lions and for England. But just so we've got in the squad at the moment, there's Alex Mitchell, there's Dan Robson, and there's Ben Spencer. And then other names to throw in the mix would be probably Harry Randall and Danny Kerr.
I've got another one.
Yeah.
Rafi Quirk from Sale.
How
exactly my pick.
How sharp did he look the other week?
He's special, that boy.
Yeah. Serious.
Looks destined to be an international scrum half.
Is he not in... I feel like he's in one of the home nation squads, mate. Or have I just... I must have made that up. Must have done.
I think hopefully you've made that up.
That's a weird one. Where did I see that? No, I'm definitely
maybe
wrong.
Are you not getting confused with the Leicester lad who's been called up someone?
I don't know. I must have been wrong. But yeah, he's another name to throw in the mix for sure.
The word rapid doesn't do him justice, does it?
Crazy, crazy wheels, like proper gas. Yeah. Out of those six, who do you want to start?
Harry Randall and then Rafi on the bench. Keep it young.
Yeah, okay.
Danny's been scared, but Eddie's done with him, isn't he?
Yes, he is. The only argument I would make for him is that I think we're probably going to agree on our fly half, and having that 8, 9, 10 axis could be quite nice. But also, we're not actually picking the real team, so we don't need to worry about things like that. So it doesn't matter.
Not yet.
Anyway, yeah, not yet. Okay, Harry Randall. I had Dan Robson, mate, but you could, I mean, literally flip a coin for probably four or five out of those. So, Harry Randall to come in after Bristol have won the Prem, I reckon. That's my prediction.
Yeah, after he's played a lovely sniped over the winning try in the final.
Yeah, I'm glad Ben Spencer's back in the mix, though. Like, he's a bit too good to just be sort of cast away and forgotten about just because there's some...
It was like nobody rated him and he kept getting picked, and then everyone rated him and he stopped getting picked.
and thus is life of an England rugby player when Eddie Jones is the coach.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we just send Marcus Smith move on?
Marcus Smith at 10. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming. Honourable mention to probably...
Well, he's still uncapped. it's hard to suggest anybody else.
When this squad came out, I was being an idiot and didn't realise that it didn't include like the semi-finalist players. And I was like, I went straight to S in the backs and was immediately raging. Marcus Smith wasn't in the team. And then I was at my parents at the time, and my dad was like, chill out, man, chill out. There's players to be added. And I was like, ah, yes, that makes a lot more sense because there's other players missing too. I was raging for about 7 seconds, but he'll be put in, he'll start. 7 seconds. Yeah.
I can tell you, though, you're not alone, because when we posted the squad, there was everyone saying it, even though it clearly said in the article.
Hilarious, mate.
It's because, like, a bit like everyone else, you just scroll straight past anything written to the squad.
I looked at some of the comments below the post on the England Rugby Instagram post, and it really clearly says there'll be two additions throughout June, one after the semi-finals, one after the final. And, like, people are like, where is Marcus Smith? Eddie has lost the plot. It's so funny. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. All right. Well, I really hope he starts both games, gets given the reins. Obviously, Ford's resting, so he doesn't have Ford to necessarily learn off, but I don't think he necessarily needs to because he's just really good.
No, I don't.
So I just hope this is sort of like, yeah, you know, the start of the Marcus Smith era for me.
It feels strange because, like I mentioned before, that Jones has never capped another fly half.
I know.
In his career. Like, an uncapped fly half. I think the only person who's had a cap is probably like Cipriani.
Yeah.
Someone else. One game
for Sippers in South Africa, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so to be in charge of a team for like nearly 6 years and never cap someone in a position is crazy.
Did Slade have a game at 10 against like Argentina on a summer tour or something like that? I've got a vague memory of that. Oh, so probably not then. Yeah, okay. Okay, I like it though. Let's do centres. So, again, got some pretty good options here. Lots of players playing very well. I know who I want my two to be.
I think I know my 12, but I don't know my 13. I think I've got Piers O'Connor at 12.
Interesting. I've got Piers O'Connor at 13.
Well, there we go. And I was thinking someone like Luke Northmore from Quinns at 13.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
Then you could go for Ollie Lawrence at 12.
I've thrown Ollie Lawrence in. I'm still not convinced at all. And there's lots of players playing really well, but I still don't think he's quite had the run that he probably deserves for some of his form with Worcester and some of the touches he's shown. Like,
I feel like if he plays these two games and he still doesn't really impress, he could never argue he hasn't had a fair crack at the weather. Like, because a lot of players don't get that much of an opportunity.
No, correct. I think you're right. I think this is like a bit of a make or break summer for him, I reckon.
I think so.
So I think throw him in because I think we'll know either way, I reckon. And you know, Lawrence and O'Connor can play either way around. I'm sure they'd interchange throughout the games and stuff. So yeah, I'm happy with that. Although, another rogue one to throw in the mix, mate. Manu is fit and hasn't been called up to the lines yet. So, is there any benefit to him playing in this tour?
Just box office.
Just to get some more viewing figures.
Because I think I've heard it's going to be on terrestrial TV.
That's good.
Which is the first time since, I think, the last summer tour, which shows you how serious the paid broadcaster is.
Yeah, standard.
Not on BBC, the Argentina one. Sure, it was on BBC.
I can't remember. It's a long...
I remember watching it in my mum and dad's kitchen, which suggests it was... like,
yeah.
Remember big Dennis Salamona running over for that try?
Yeah.
After giving away two tries.
I keep hearing it all the time that he might be going to Bristol, but that hasn't been confirmed yet, has it?
No, I haven't.
No. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think, other than, like you say, for box office and to get some people watching on terrestrial, I'm not sure if Manu needs to play against America and Canada, given his track record of injury.
But you never know. This could be his last chance to play for England. True. You never know.
True.
You just don't know how his injury is going to go. Pick him when he's... You never know when he's not going
to
be.
That's not a bad philosophy as well, to be fair. Yeah, that's not a bad philosophy.
He is one of those players where it might be quite cool if they change the rules and if in a few years' time he could play for Samoa at the World Cup. Because have you seen...
Yes.
I'd take the opportunity for a tangent.
This is a great tangent, mate, because we've spoken about this on the pod before. So go. Tangent away.
Fekitoa, you know, put out a big Instagram post there. I think he hasn't confirmed, but he's basically signaling he's going to play for them at the Olympics, isn't he?
He is. He now
allows him to play for them.
Correct.
International.
Forgive my ignorance. Is it Samoa? Forgive my ignorance.
Tonga.
So Fekitoa is in the Tongan 7 squad for the Olympics, which would then make him eligible to play for Tonga in 15s as well, which is sick. I love that.
It's such a weird loophole for
it
them to have.
It's so bizarre. Yeah.
Speaking of Olympics, Marcus Smith turned it down, didn't he? I think I read.
Oh, really?
The chance to be Olympic squad. But I guess, God, if Eddie Jones is going to give him a chance, he needs to take it because he's not given many.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting, though. That's interesting. Well, we might...
I'm all for just them relaxing the rules, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just think maybe, this, like we've said before, there should be a cap on it because you don't want it getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
But one or two big players playing for smaller countries will only benefit them.
Definitely. Definitely. It can only help. But yeah, a bit of sizzle. We might have someone fairly close to the sevens game to chat about all of that with fairly soon, mightn't we?
Yeah.
We'll leave that one there for now. But stay tuned for that, folks. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that one. But where did we get to? So we picked our sentence. Ollie Lawrence, Piers O'Connor, either way round. We happy?
Yep, happy with that.
Good. Now, back three. So again, we've got some players like playing some very, very good rugby in the back three at the moment. Lots of exciting players. Where do you want to go with this? What do you think? I struggle with this. I've picked names, but now I'm looking at them and I think that's wrong. You shouldn't pick him. So I'm not sure.
I'm the same. I had like a list of like six or seven there trying to pick three out.
I know who I want at 15. I've done that. That's fine.
Are you going for Freddie Stewart?
No.
No?
No.
Who are you going with?
Max Malins.
He deserves it. We need to give him a chance somewhere in a position.
Yeah.
Consistently.
And I think for me, 15's his position.
Max Malins was my pick as well.
Yeah.
And I had Malins, Stewart and Tom DeGlanville written down.
Yeah. That's nice. I've got Malins at 15, and then I've got, which now I'm saying this out loud, just sounds frankly ridiculous. I've got Josh Bassett and Joe Cocker-Singer, which is a little...
I had very different. I had Ollie Hassel-Collins and Radders.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought you'd throw Radders in there. I definitely want Hassel Collins. I don't know why I put my two, because I definitely want Hassel Collins. Oh, man.
I don't think I've seen Joe Cocker-Singer have enough good matches to watch that.
I know, but he's so big. He's just massive, mate.
The English Jonah Lomu.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Bassett deserves to be in the one cap wonder list.
I completely agree. I think I don't even hugely like him as a player, to be honest. Like I do like him, but not massively. But I do think he deserves I do think he deserves a cap because he just does a lot of very, very, very good things very, very regularly. So should we stick Radders on the bench for now?
Yeah.
All right.
Thing is, Jones isn't against, you know, giving older players an opportunity because he's, you know, Wilson wasn't a spring chicken when he got in. And Willie Hines, I think, was 31, 32 when he made the
46, I think, Willie Hines was.
He looked about 50. I know he's on the list of like the top 10 oldest England debutants alongside Andy Farrell and co.
Yeah. How old is Josh Bassett? He must be like late
20s. 29.
You think he's nearly 30? Do you reckon? With the power of Google, I will find out. Josh Bassett, not the American actor, the English rugby union player. He's 29 years old.
When's his birthday? Key info.
17th of March.
Oh, so he's all right. He's still a youngin for a while.
The day before my older brother's birthday, actually. So there you go. Feel free to steal my brother's identity if you have that information, everyone.
Your brother could become Josh Bassett.
Mate, I think he's got a little bit to go. But yeah, maybe. Yeah, I like him, mate. I think he deserves it. Okay. We're there then, I think. We're there. So
I don't think it's anywhere close to what I thought we would have when we started.
No,
that's just the squad.
Nor me, to be honest. But obviously there is a little bit of like, not confusion, but a bit of vagueness about it because we've got however many players to come into the squad from the four teams that are in the semi-finals. And obviously there will be quite a few that we probably haven't even mentioned today that will get added in.
You might get your opportunity to page about Marcus Smith, yes?
Well, I could do. And don't you worry, if I get that opportunity, I will. but yeah, I mean, we didn't even mention Joe Simmons. We didn't mention, you know, like
Jack Knoll,
a Harry Williams.
We've done with Eddie Jones and just ignored the Exeter boys.
We have. Yeah, we have, really. I think we gave Dave Ewers a little shout, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, we haven't mentioned Henry Slade. We haven't mentioned Ollie Devoto.
We'll give Slade the summer off, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Well, listeners, here is our team. We've got Ellis Genge. I've got to say his name again. We've got Ellis Genge. We've got Jamie Blamire. We've got Joe Hayes, Dave Atwood and George Martin in the second row. Back row of Ben Curry, Sam Underhill, Alex Donbrandt. Scrum half, Harry Randall. Fly half, Marcus Smith. Centres of Ollie Lawrence and Piers O'Connor. And a back three of Josh Bassett, Ollie Hassel-Collins and Max Malins, which is quite exciting. I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it. I think it's quite a balanced side. I think we could have gone more exciting, but it would have just not worked. I mean, that team would do well.
Very well. Yeah, very well. And like we say, although it might be underwhelming to some, I think... playing Canada and USA is a really good opportunity for some of these players to get themselves in the shirt.
See how it looks on them, as the old saying goes, because some players just become animals.
Exactly. Which, to be fair, someone like a Josh Bassett, I think, has the potential to do that. Like, I feel like he could find the step up pretty seamless, but
he's sort of like a similar player to Josh Adams, isn't he, in terms of his sort of style of player?
Yeah, that's a good shout. Yeah.
Josh's must play decent wingers with average pace.
Yeah. Josh Lucy, you could probably throw into that camp. He was a bit quicker, maybe, but yeah.
There you go. It's a collection.
We'll do a Josh's 15 one day. So, segueing in from that squad into the Premiership, we'll do a little bit of recap. But we've got the semi-final sorted. So they were pretty much sorted before the weekend, save an outrageous result for Sale against Exeter, which nearly happened, which we'll come on to. But the semi-finals this weekend are Bristol playing at home against Quins, and Exeter playing at home against Sale. which I think are just amazing matchups. Like, you've got Jouer versus Jouer and Squeeze versus Squeeze, which I think is going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be incredible, I think. It'll be a great weekend.
Really good. Really good. We saw obviously, like, a bit of a teaser for the Exeter game the weekend just gone. Exeter coming back from a 14 point halftime deficit against Sale or something like that to win 2019.
Can't do much for Sale confidence, can it?
It can't do, no. I mean, both teams were full bore as well. Chiefs went down to 14. Do you think Sale take from that shit, Exeter are actually quite good? Or do you think they say, okay, we got real close there, we can hurt them, we just need to stay on our game and not let things slip? What do you think they take from that? Obviously, Big Al will take all the positives, I'm sure, but what do you think?
I think Exeter is gonna win. I think they've got that big match experience in the last 3, 4, 5 years, and I think that does count for a lot.
Yeah.
And I think Sale will have to put in a sensational performance to win, because I think Exeter are just gonna come out and they live for these big games.
Yeah.
I think Sale's reaction to that defeat will be fine. I think they're fine, but I think it's more Exeter's sort of reaction to a big game will be what's the difference maker this time.
Yeah, okay.
I think Sale are pretty much powerless in this, so watch Sale go and win 20 points.
do you think obviously Exeter have a lot of big game experience, but so does Alex Anderson. And Alex Anderson in the past has definitely got the better of Chiefs more often than not. How much do you think the coach having that history actually plays a part, or do the players need it too?
I think it definitely plays a part. You know, he knows everything there is to know about Exeter, but I think, to be honest, there's been times this season when Exeter just looked unplayable.
Yeah.
And I think when they turn up and play like that, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
And it's just what Sale's approach going to be. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've lost McGinty, haven't they?
They have, yeah, which is pretty devastating.
Because they don't have... The thing is, Sale have a very, very high-quality squad, but it's very small.
Yeah.
When you look at it compared to other clubs, I think they've only got, like, mid-30s amount players.
They've also lost... they've also lost Akka van der Merwe as well, which is another big blow.
Not Doohan, but, you know, one of the Mervers.
One of the Mervers.
But that's the thing. That's the problem when you gamble on sort of getting good players rather than quantity.
Yep.
There are plenty of teams in the league who don't have a 15 as good as Sale, but they'll have a second 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
Themselves.
That's a very good point. And if
Sale are producing players like Rafi Quirk, you know, the academy might be... If the academy can catch up, but it's very difficult to ask them to basically be your second team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a tricky one. I think it's been interesting with Chiefs, because I don't know whether you remember, but at the start of the year we had our weekly feature of RX to Chiefs still really good, and for the first 6 or 7 weeks they were unbelievable, but then they kind of dipped for a while. And now, towards the business end, they've now really started to ramp it up again, which I think is the sign of potentially a championship team. One that can come out of the blocks, all guns blazing, work their way through a season and manage their way through a season without losing anyone to touch wood, anyone to a huge injury. But then really start to ramp it up when it matters. Whereas I think Bristol are maybe have tapered off a little bit in the last few weeks.
I think so as well.
Yeah.
I think Bristol have went off. I think with Exeter, they literally had nearly... They won the double and then the season started. They never had a chance to take a break.
Yeah.
So they kept that momentum going, and then it was always going to tail off at some point.
Yeah.
It would be better off put the tail off in the middle somewhere and have a little bit of a break and then build back up. Then, you know, sort of burn out. They probably did burn out a little bit in that time. That's probably what happened.
Although they've got no debuters, no Sam Skinner.
That's a big blow.
I think Sam Skinner is with all due respect, I think Sam Skin is like pretty replaceable. There's lots of guys that can do a job for him, I think. But Dave Hughes, I think, as we sort of alluded to earlier, is a huge blow, not only for himself and for Exeter, but actually for how Sam Simmons plays. And that balance
there. Well.
Yeah, yeah. Baxter's been pretty vocal on that, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's been a bit ridiculous this season.
Yeah, it is tricky, isn't it?
If you took every incident and analysed how long people get banned, it just seems like you're pulling it out of a hat, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it literally does. But maybe they kind of are a little bit. I don't know.
I think so. Well, they try to make it too much of a science, I think, when they put out like those sheets of all their...
The criteria, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like... You took half of Owen Farrell's ban off because he went to a charity event or something. You know, come on.
You can do what you want. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I'm excited for that. I think the Quins Bristol game will come on to, but Chiefs Sale's the game of the weekend for me. That's gonna be proper, that is.
Yeah. Moving on to Quins Bristol.
Yes.
I really want Quins to. Do you know what? I want Bristol to win a Premiership under Pallam.
Yep.
I think I'd rather it was on a season where they can have all their fans there. That can be a proper adventure.
Yeah. Yeah,
it would be horrible for them to win their first Premiership title like this, I think.
I agree.
They're rocking it.
Yeah. I also think, you know, like Chiefs had to do, I also think there's something to be said for teams not winning it on their first go there. Obviously, it's the first time they made the playoffs. If they make it, it'll be the first time they make the final. And I do think there's something to be said for not earning the right, because obviously if you win the Prem, you deserve to win the Prem. But I do think you've got to maybe have a tough loss in the knockout phases to really learn like what it takes and to really learn what you need to do. Quins have had that previously, not for a few years, obviously. And mate, they can't defend for shit, but they can. Boy, can they attack!
God, imagine trying to predict this score like bang on.
I know. Yeah, mate. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be anything. It could literally be anything. Like anything below 45 all, I reckon it could be anything below that.
It's not very often the Falcons get a try scoring bonus point away from home.
No, but still lost by 28 points.
Man, I'm just talking about in terms of where the defense is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The funny thing about that was I was out and I was out and about with family. I saw a tweet come up saying we'd got our try scoring bonus points. I was like, what's going on? And I looked at the score. Like, it was 20 seconds.
Oh, no. But I think the issue there is that A, Newcastle aren't very good at attacking and they still scored four. And B, Bristol are actually very good at defending. So I think it could be a tough day for Quins because I think they'll try and outscore Bristol as they do with everyone. But Bristol's defence is really, really, really good. And their attack has just got weapons to hurt them from anywhere.
The thing is with Bristol's attack, sometimes this season it hasn't looked as good as you would think. But when it has looked amazing is when they're counter-attacking.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just going to have so many opportunities to counter-attack in this game.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. It's a really hard one for Quins to... I think it's really hard for Quins because they've genuinely got a chance to win this. Like they can definitely beat Bristol. But I don't know what the right way to go about it is because they've got to this position playing this game, like you said, just falls perfectly into Bristol's hands.
It's like, do you take it as a free hit? But because then, if you change the game plan and you lose, you'll regret not changing. And if you play your game plan and lose, you're going to regret not changing. It's a lose-lose situation, I think, for them in terms of that, isn't it?
It is. It's really hard. I think really hard. I think they've probably just got to stick to their guns and chuck the ball around and hope for the best. Hope that things come off.
Just try not miss as many tackles.
Well, that's the thing. I think it wasn't the weekend. It wasn't the weekend just gone, but the one before. And he's playing unbelievably well and he's broken the record for tries scored in a season by a Harlequins player. But mate, Danny Kerr just was not interested in making any tackles at all. Literally no interest. Like, I'm not even sure I can say that he missed them because he just didn't even try and make them. So, yeah, I think they'll need to bring out some slightly better defence, but we'll see.
We'll see, Matt.
Who's your pick then? So just for the listeners, in case they're not sure, Bristol play Quins at 1:30, both on Saturday, and Chiefs play Sale at 4:30 at Ashton Gate and Sandy Park, respectively. I think I'm going to go. I mean, it's the obvious, but I think both home teams are going to win. I'm going to go Bristol Chiefs.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think Sale are more likely to do a job than Quins, I would say. But yeah.
I think so.
And that would set us up for a very, very, very tasty final. To be fair, I think any final, whichever way it goes, will be a good one.
Both of last year's European champions.
Yes. Yep. Good shout, that. Good shout.
Bit of a storyline.
Yeah. Speaking of storyline, mate, what do you make of the Saracens result?
Oh, just so sad.
Isn't it just awful?
I hear that they brought out the story. Someone broke the story like the day before that even if Ealing won, they wouldn't be allowed to get promoted. And I thought like that took a lot of the emphasis away from the game. And I don't know if some of the Ealing players might have even seen that.
Yeah.
And thought, demoralised.
It was, I mean, I've only seen the highlights, but Christ alive. It just looked...
Are they still playing the second leg?
This is the thing.
Why?
I understand that, obviously they have to. Like, I get that. But why are they playing it? Why are they playing it? And also, what do you think Mr. Gatland's thinking at the moment? Like, are the Lions boys should be swanning off to Jersey, going for a dip at St. Brillard's Bay, and not worrying about playing Ealing again. But I reckon they're going to all play.
Oh, I feel sad for Ealing.
I just think Sarri's just, you know, they were ruthless at the peak of their powers. And they've clearly maintained that edge. And I think they just want to really bury Ealing. I think all the big guns are going to play. And I think it's going to get over 100 on aggregate.
Was that the home leg where they won 60-0? And are they away this week? Or was that the away leg?
No, Sarri's were away.
Oh, God.
So they're at home this week. Yeah. So
now Ealing have to go and play on that dodgy artificial pitch.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, mate. There's been a lot of chat about it showing the golfing class between the leagues. But I just think that's a ridiculous, like, people that are making that argument are just making a ridiculous argument, because Sarri's are definitely capable of beating Worcester 16-0 at the moment.
What was the extra score against the Falcons the other week?
Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think those that are saying, oh yeah, there's no point in having promotion relegation because the championship's shit, you're kind of missing the point there, because actually this is one of the best teams in Europe playing against the championship side. But yeah, mate, I don't know what to say. I heard on the BBC Rugby Union Weekly, Chris Jones is picking them to come back and win the league next year, win the Prem next year. What do you reckon?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Just wouldn't.
They'll have a bit of a beat up on it about being put down in the first place, yeah. I think.
Being the bonnet.
I think that's one of the reasons why I don't want Bristol to win this year, because I just think whoever wins, people are just going to say, oh, well, Saracens would have won it if they went there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whereas Quins would take that. Quins wouldn't mind an asterisk. They'd be well happy.
Quins would run kick. Quins would take that at the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought it was worth mentioning them before the end, because that was... I mean, 60-0 as well. Nil. You know, if it was like 60 points to like 17, it's like, okay, well, at least Ealing did something. But 60 points to nil is just ruthless from Saris. I kind of love it. I kind of love it, to be honest.
Just like to put that argument aside, like when the Falcons were down there, and we've been a decent side this season. I remember going to Bedford and we won like 13-7 or something.
Yeah.
So there's some tough games in that division.
Definitely. But you know, as I said, Saris didn't get relegated because they were shit. You know, they've still got five British and Irish Lions. Like, so yeah.
Is that more than anybody else?
Say again.
Maybe not. Don't know. I was thinking, is that more than anybody else has? But I couldn't confirm. Maybe one of the. There's not that many Irishmen.
No, I was going to say Leinster, but I think it must be.
James Ryan didn't even. Is he Leinster or Leinster? He's Leinster. Leinster.
Yeah, it must be the most.
One of the most embarrassing things.
It must be the most, I think. Must be.
It must be, I think, because yeah. I can't think of anyone else.
No.
So a championship club had more Lions than anybody else. So that's just the quality we're talking about, isn't it?
Exactly.
And they could have more, to be honest, than Big Billy.
Exactly, could have had more. And then they've got a bunch, like, you know, I think the rest of their team are international players as well. It's not like they've then got a bunch of dross.
Even when they got relegated to signing, like, they snapped up some of the best championship players and people like Will Hooley from Bedford.
Yeah.
And then they went and signed, like, Juan Pablo Cicino, who'd been playing with Edinburgh, been at Newcastle. He's class.
Yeah.
They're convinced that Scotland second row just come out of retirement.
Yes, Winnow. Tim Swinson.
Winnow. Hung up his boots for 2 weeks and then came back.
Yeah, they've still got Vincent Cock propping down, which is a joke.
A load of some of the best sort of, because we're seeing a lot of like good young English players that we're putting in our squad, but so like the middle age, you know, people like Jackson Ray and people like that. Jackson Ray is a solid player.
Very.
I would love to have him play for the Falcons. He'd be good. He's a northeast boy.
Well, to be fair, that would actually be a very good, because I think he's been an outstanding servant for Saris. But I think with, like, you know, I see Ben Earl as a very natural replacement for him next year when he comes back from Bristol. So I reckon, yeah, mate. I reckon if Jackson wants to go home to finish his career, that's not a bad shout.
I don't think you want to move back to Sunderland, mate.
Well, close enough to home then. Just go a bit further.
Yeah, get up to Gosford for
exactly.
Desmond.
Exactly. Exactly. We can show him round. Well, mate.
Sounds good. When I was out in Jesmond once, actually, years ago now, I ran into Nilly Latu in Jesmond.
I'm sure he didn't stand out at all.
Huge. Him and Terry Oliveira, the tight end proper, was absolutely huge.
Right, mate. So there's some good rugby this weekend. There is some good rugby. So we've got top 14 playoff semi-finals, which we don't really need to mention, but that if we could watch them in this country, that would be good fun. We've got the Rainbow Cup final. The under 26 Nations is on.
Their league, by the way.
What, the Rainbow Cup?
And then just, what is it now? It's not like the United Nations Cup or whatever, league or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I saw that announced this week. I don't know. It's basically the Pro 14, but the South Africans are actually going to play now, isn't it? I think so.
It's like they just rebrand a new competition every year. And like, yeah. Look, it's fresh. It's the exact same as it was before.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is.
I can't help but think that people in Wales would be more interested in watching like a Welsh Premiership than this. That's what I think.
Yeah. No, I agree. I completely agree.
Like a Welsh Premiership, like six or seven teams.
With the Wales players actually playing rather than just playing three games a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, also under 26 Nations is kicking off this weekend and it's the Super Rugby final as well. So, mate, if you want to watch a bunch of rugby this weekend, you really, really can.
If you want to get away from Euros.
And we've got the champ playoff on the Sunday as well. So, busy weekend. Lots and lots of rugby to watch. Yeah, God. Thoughts go out to Ealing. But yeah, should we leave it there, mate? Is that good?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good one. I've enjoyed it.
All right.
It was good.
Well, there you go then, folks. That is it for episode 18 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. You can find us on Twitter at Ruck Rugby and Instagram at ruck.co.uk. And you can visit our website, ruck.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to, rate, and share the podcast. Enjoy all the rugby this weekend, and we will see you next week.